This morning, we are going to be looking at the last gate in the series, the inspection gate. It occurs in Nehemiah 3, verse 31. And as we've gone through all the different gates, you might have realized that each separate gate has an important concept for us to get hold of. And this is no exception. So we're going to be looking at the inspection gate. The gates of Jerusalem then all appear in Nehemiah 3, chapter 3. And in actual fact, the walls of Jerusalem at this stage in the Jewish history had lain in ruin for 150 years. In Ezra 4, verse 6 to 23, we see that 75 years before Nehemiah came along, that in fact they had tried to build the walls, but the enemies of the Jews had been so powerful at that stage, they couldn't rebuild the walls, because as soon as they built up a wall, someone would come along and break it down again. So 75 years before Nehemiah, the people had tried, but had failed to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So what happened is the Babylonian Empire had come and completely conquered Jerusalem, laid it to waste. And then the Persian Empire had come on the back of the Babylonian Empire, and they had become the major superpower of the day. Somehow, Nehemiah, who was a Jew, had become a governor within this superpower, and he asked for a report of Jerusalem from where he was in Persia. And he found that the Jerusalem, which actually means the city of peace, was in fact in great distress at that time. We have this in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3, where he asked for a report of Jerusalem, and they said to me, that's Nehemiah, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burnt with fire. That is the state of Jerusalem. And it was the state of Jerusalem that Nehemiah really felt deeply in his heart about. He was in another country, but he really felt Jerusalem needed to be rebuilt. The walls of Jerusalem needed to be rebuilt. So the character of Nehemiah then, we can see that he is not the sort of person who's just going to let things be. He's not content to let things be. And so he asked for the king of Persia, who was the global superpower of that day, for time off. His courage paid off. And he was given the ability to go to Jerusalem and do something about it. What did Nehemiah first of all do when he went back to Jerusalem? First thing was not a big kind of declaration that I'm going to sort out your problems here. What he did, he went back to Jerusalem. And at night time, when no one saw him, in chapter 2 and verse 13, Nehemiah inspected the walls. He got together what exactly was the size of the problem. He didn't make a big show of it, and he went out at night. So I went out at night by the valley gate in the direction of the Dragon's Well and on the refuse gate. We've heard some of these gates before. Inspecting the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down and its gates were consumed by fire. We have the picture of him looking at some of these walls broken down here. So that's the first thing that Nehemiah does. He has a heart for what is broken. He inspects what is broken. So Nehemiah's inspection is really to understand the size of the job. He is a very powerful person in the empire of Persia, and his first thing is to inspect what is to be done and whether he can actually do anything about it. If there is a job to be done, we need to know if we are equipped to do it. If God gives us a job to do, we need to inspect to find out whether we are in a position to actually do something about it. Nehemiah 3, verse 31, then, we have this mention of this gate, the inspection gate. It comes in. After him, Malchijah, one of the goldsmiths, carried out repairs as far as the house of the temple servants and of the merchants in front of the inspection gate, as far as the upper room of the corner. Now, there's not much to go on here. This is the only verse in the Bible that mentions the inspection gate, okay? So I'm going to use the concept here rather than actually finding out about the biblical exegesis about it. So, in fact, it's not even mentioning the gate itself. It's talking about the area in front of the gate. So it's even less to go on there. But anyway, Nehemiah's inspection itself provides the food, the spiritual food that we need to look at today. Okay, so he inspected what needed to be done. And that is really important if we are going to do what God is wanting us to do. So what was Nehemiah's contribution? He is a person just like you or me, one person. However, he was a very powerful person, granted. But he couldn't just come in to this place that he didn't even know. So he comes into Jerusalem and he doesn't announce himself with big trumpets and whatever. He looks at the problem at hand and he decides how he's going to tackle the problem. You know what? In his encouragement to the people at that time, even though 75 years before they had tried to rebuild the wall and failed, he was able to get the walls rebuilt in just 52 days. Sometimes God puts upon us a mission that seems completely impossible, but if we look to Jesus, it is possible. There is nothing that is impossible for God. He saw the need, he inspected the task, and then he motivated other people to do it. I think there were probably about 50,000 people involved in this job. So in 52 days, this is no mean task. So the inspection gate. I want to bring out from this gate the idea of self-assessment. Okay, so inspecting whether we are equipped to do the task that God has given to us. There is a job to do. There's a lot of jobs to do. This world is not perfect. There are many things that are going wrong in this world. But you know, we have a task to make this world a better place. I want to ask the question, how well equipped are we to do the task that God has given to us? It's not about a big inspection that is going to be happening in future times. A lot of people say the inspection gate is about the great judgment. You know, have we lived a life that is worthy of our calling? It's not about that. Inspection is so that we are equipped to then go and do the job that is at our hand. Okay? It's not waiting around wondering if we are good enough or not. We need to be asking ourselves now, are we equipped to do the job that God is putting into our hands to do? The time has come to get ourselves prepared to do what needs to be done now. That is for each one of us. In a sense, it's very much like when Jesus received the 72 back. Do you remember the 72 disciples went out to preach the gospel and they went to heal people and they went to bring peace upon people? When they came back with a lot of joy, didn't they? And they said, oh, wow, this is amazing. All the supernatural powers are giving us whatever we want. Jesus answered them. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Every time we go into the mission field, and we are all on mission fields. Every time that we do something good, we are bringing a piece of heaven into this earth. And you know, it's not a one-way thing, because when we bring something from heaven onto this earth, we leave something back up there. We leave something, we leave our mark with our name on it, saying, yeah, I've claimed this bit of heaven on earth. So the commission for each one of us is to bring a little bit more of that heaven onto this earth. Remember, we sang about it just now. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. That is our mission. Let us bring God's kingdom down a little bit more onto this earth. Every time we do something good, every time we are generous, every time that we share something that we have, it might not be much, but if we share that with those around us, there is another piece of heaven that has come down onto this earth. We bring a little bit more of heaven onto this earth. But you know, Jesus said to his disciples, yeah, that's great that the demons are submitting to you, but even better is the fact that you have left your mark in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. That's what Jesus said. That's the big thing. By bringing heaven down to earth, we leave something of ourselves up in heaven as well. Our name is written in heaven. Some of you will know that I've just been on a mission trip. I've been on a mission trip to Kenya to make a documentary about the street-connected children in Kenya. And I wanted to take this opportunity to kind of give you an idea of, I suppose, inspection, really. It's a bit of it like a show and tell. It's in keeping with the idea of inspection. I don't know if you kind of realise, but I'm actually holding a camera doing this thing. So we're actually in quite a dangerous situation there, because any one of those could come up to us and grab the camera and something like that. So God was very much with us in this place. This girl on the right-hand side says she was one of the few girls that were there. The rest of them were boys. So on the left-hand side, you see a woman with a little baby. Her husband was actually in prison at the time, and so she's doing everything she can to get food. A lot of them were coming up to me and say, I am hungry. That's all they would say to me. And you saw them with that little bottle there. That was actually industrial strength glue, which they would get high on just by smelling it. And you could see that guy who came over to talk to the camera, he was kind of phasing in and out of consciousness, basically. So they're doing a fantastic job there. The idea of the charity that I went out to work with was to take these children off the streets and put them back into the family so that they become a productive member of society again. We actually took one of those people there. He was in the background, you might have seen him, but we actually took him back home that very day and reunited him with his family. So it was an amazing experience for me to actually see that. Let me tell you some of the stories. So this is the media team that went over there. It's me with the hat, the bucket hat. Mitch, you might know from previous trips out there. Abby and Jess, who are a Falmouth University students. Each of us had a wonderful tale to tell. So I'll take them in an order. This is Abby. Her biggest story that I remember is that she's had the summer available to do some work. So she prayed to God saying, I really would like to do a video with a charity abroad. I have no idea how to do this. So God, you will have to get someone to come and tell me about this. 1 week later, I emailed her and said, would you like to make a video in Africa? So that was really amazing story there. And she was a great asset on the team. So I phoned her up 1 week later. God was definitely in this. And in a sense, when you see God moving, you know that heaven is coming to earth in some way. This is another place where heaven comes into earth. This is Mitch. So some of you will have known Mitch from previous trips to Nairobi. He's grown a little bit older now. Now, the amazing thing that happened with him is that we came across a mother who had developed tetanus in her leg, and it was an awful sore. She'd got it all over her shin, and she basically crashed into this hot cauldron and developed tetanus. Mitch was not one to kind of shy away from this situation, and he dived straight in and prayed for her. Not only prayed for her, but said, could you take the bandages off so you can see if it gets healed or not? Okay, which is an amazing thing, really. It didn't get healed there and then. I'm sure it was very valuable for the woman. But the fact that he was expecting it to be healed there and then was a massive impact to all of the Tumeini staff there. They just really were really quite amazed that we should be expecting things to be happening as soon as we pray them. So that was a really nice bit of heaven coming into earth. This is the actual prayer. He actually prayed for it by using her children as well, which I think was a very special thing as well. So just a nice little prayer. But it's not big things necessarily that bring heaven to earth. It's little prayers as well. This is Jess. Now, on the evening of actually going out to Nairobi, her dad brought her to the airport, and he said to us, she got prayer for coming out to Nairobi, and the person who was praying for her said, this will be a trip that was going to be full of divine connections for you, and that she took that on board. Yeah, then her dad brought her to the airport and told her, you do know that your grandfather actually helped set up Africa International University in Nairobi, don't you? She said, no, I didn't know that. So that was the first thing. But then the connection developed because John, who was a staff member of TKW, his wife actually worked at the university. So there's another connection there. So there's a divine connection. So having seen that connection, we decided we would take time off and actually visit the university, which is just on the outskirts of Nairobi. And in actual fact, her grandfather has got this nice little plaque there in the background there. She didn't know any of this before we actually went there. And so I'm looking at Mitch, who's looking at Abby, who's looking at Jessica, who's looking at her grandfather. That's an amazing, amazing connection, divine connection. And then finally, there's me, okay? This is, I don't know if you can see it, but that's a giraffe in the background there. As you know, we have been doing a prophetic course recently, and something that is something that I'm really committed to kind of pursuing. And I've been taking quite a number of, I guess, hours actually, to each day I will try and get at least about 10 different kind of pictures or words and something, and which I feel are prophetic. And then I'll either write them down or draw them and so on. And about 2 weeks before the trip out there, I had a particular picture of a person with a bandage on their arm. This happened on the 2nd of May, 2 weeks before we went out there. When I was out there on the Wednesday, I saw that person in Nairobi, and I knew that I had to pray for her. Let me just show you the picture so you can see. It doesn't look like a bandage on an arm, but it is a bandage on an arm. So that kind of middle section there is the bandage. Then you've got a forearm coming down there, and then the body on the back there. That's the picture I saw and I drew 2 weeks before. And then here is the girl with the picture on the bandage. And I knew I had to pray for her. So I said to her, I told her the story. I said, God wants me to pray for you. And I prayed for her. It didn't get better straight away, but I know that God was in that. I know that by praying for her, a little piece of heaven came down to her. And that is what our mission is. We're bringing heaven to earth. I just want to finish off with the kind of a little bit of a Bible study, really, on Matthew 16, verses 16 to 19. This is where Jesus says how he's going to build his church. So in verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus had just said, "Well, who do you say I am, Peter?" And he replied with this thing, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. When it says flesh and blood here, we're talking about the normal human understanding. Our normal human understanding cannot grasp that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus said to Peter, your normal understanding did not reveal this to you. That was revealed to you by my Father who is in heaven. That's really important, because the revelation that we bring into this earth starts from our relationship with the Father. The closeness of our relationship to the Father is the starting place to bring revelation down to earth. And then he says these famous words, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. So, what is this rock? I want to say that this rock is that relationship with the Father. It is our relationship with the Father through which Jesus will build his church. It is a relationship with the Father that brings revelation as well. So it's revelation that will bring a little piece of heaven to earth. And you know what? The gates of Hades is the place of the dead, will not overpower that type of revelation. That's what Jesus promises. And through this relationship with the Father that takes these revelations, he said, they will give you keys of the kingdom of heaven into your very situations. Whatever situation you find yourself in, there are keys that God can give you through revelation. And it says that whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. That is why it's so important for us to build our relationship with the Father so close that we can get revelation and bring a piece of heaven to this earth. So, we're all on a mission from God. How equipped do you feel to do this mission? On a scale of 1 to 10, how equipped do you feel you are to do it? I want you to just to think about that. Okay? Give yourself a number. You don't have to shout it out. You don't have to say it or anything. How equipped, on a scale of 1 to 10, are you to do the mission that God has set out for you? I want you to spend a minute, and we'll spend a minute in silence, if that's okay, to ask the Holy Spirit, what do you need to be equipped to do this task? Okay? So if you remember, Nehemiah came and he inspected what needs to be done on the walls. I want you to be thinking through what needs to be done in my life in order to do the mission that God has set out for me. Let's spend a little time in silence there, just asking the Holy Spirit that. Okay. And then finally, say the Holy Spirit said to you, well, I want you to care for people, or I want you to pray for people, or I want you to lead people. Whatever it is, how can you get to that position? What resources do you need to actually implement that? Remember, Nehemiah inspected the walls and then got the people to build the walls. He didn't do it himself. Maybe there is something about that for you as well. You know that God wants you to do a certain thing. How do you get from where you are into the place where you are doing the mission for God? Okay? So I want you to think in terms of asking the Holy Spirit to show that for you now.